Cresslin steps onto the white gravel path. The shadow that has darkened the garden lifts as a small white cloud drifts away, revealing the white gold sun, and the blue-green of the sky brightens like a fire emerald.
You know, where the unattached consorts and the other male guests.
Cresslin raises his eyebrows.
Hostages for good behavior? Sons of suspect houses?
The herald looks down at the fine and polished white pebbles.
Never mind. Tell me about the garden.
It's nearly as old as the palace. The tales say the second tyrant built it in memory of her consort. That was Aldrin, the last consort to ride in battle. He was killed at Berletto's when the tyrant crushed the Gerons.
Jera is southern Ceronin now, isn't it?
Yes, Your Grace. Very loyal. This maze is sculpted from just one creeping Tarnitz.
Just one?
That's right. If you look down, you can see how the roots intertwine.
Cresslin kneels to study the base of the Tarnitz.
Very clever gardening. We couldn't do this sort of thing at Westwind.
Oh?
Only the evergreens grow there, and not well. Show me some more of the garden.
The herald leads Cresslin around a series of turns through the maze until they emerge near the statue in the midst of the marble-walled pond.
Aldrin?
Cresslin gestures toward the well-endowed male figure.
So it's said, Your Grace. But no one knows for certain.
Ah, I do believe it is the Honorable Consort Design of Westwind. You know Nurtrill, the one who had nothing to say at the banquet.
Cresslin turns to see Drerik, the broad, blonde companion of the unnamed red-headed woman, walking the path. He wears matching royal blue silks that, under the white gold sun, set off his tan and his flowing golden hair. Beside him is an older man, wearing gray silks, a pointed and drooping mustache, and a long blade. Although he smiles faintly, Cresslin has nothing to say to either man, particularly since he has no doubt that any wit he might display would be far less practiced than that of two men who have spent a lifetime mastering the innuendo.
Good day, I say.
A pleasant day, indeed.
He wears a blade, you see. Perhaps because his other blade is less than adequate, you think, Nurtrill?
That would be for the women to decide, Your Grace.
Ah, yes. Assuming that women are even... no matter.
Drerik turns his back on Cresslin and begins to study a miniature pink rose set in a waist-high box of white marble.
Your Grace?
The herald tugs at Cresslin's sleeve. Cresslin remains immobile.
Do you think he really merits the title, Nurtrill? Grace? Ah, well, what we must put up with to obtain a little more security. We could do him a favor, I suppose. Margio likes boys, the thin ones like this mountain lordlet. Do you suppose he could manage an introduction?
Cresslin can feel his face flush, not from the direct sunlight.
I do believe he shows some interest, Your Grace.
One must be so dreadfully direct with mountain nobility.
Cresslin turns to the herald.
It is truly amazing to hear such vulgarity posturing under polite language. I would like to see an area of the garden not spoiled by...
Cresslin turns as a hand touches his sleeve.
I do believe you have slighted, my lord. Grievously.
One cannot slander a toad. They live in the mud.
The long blade clears the scabbard. Cresslin swallows.
Well, do you wish to beg His Grace's pardon humbly and upon your knees?
I think not.
Cresslin steps back, and his own shorter and fractionally wider blade is in his hand.
Well, well, he has some nerve, if not much in the way of intelligence.
Nurtrill says nothing, his eyes fixed upon Cresslin's. Cresslin smiles, remembering the sessions with Imrys and Heldra, and his blade moves without his eyes moving. Nurtrill steps back involuntarily at the nick on his forearm, then moves forward. Cresslin's blade flashes, almost faster than his thoughts, and the long blade lies upon the white gravel. Nurtrill holds his right arm as heavy red wells through his fingers and over the gray silks. Drerik's mouth is still open as Cresslin steps forward, blade flickering.
You wouldn't! Barbarian!
The sword caresses the blonde man's cheek, and two thin lines of red appear.
That should be enough, Lord Ledrerick, to remind you that insulting one's betters is dangerous.
Cresslin bows to Nertral.
My apologies, of a sort, to you. You might also remember that the guards of Westwind are far better at this than I am. I am merely a poor consort assigned.
Cresslin turns to the open-mouthed lad.
Let's go. I detest the stench of blood.
He swallows as he thinks about the Marshal's reaction. She will not be pleased.
Your Grace.
Cresslin starts toward the path by which they had entered the garden. The herald shrugs and leads him back along the white pebbled stones. Cresslin forces himself to walk slowly after the herald, wondering where Drerik is heading in such haste. His own steps are deliberate. He will not be stampeded by any male harlot, especially one without enough nerve to handle his own dirty work.
Are you all right, Your Grace?
I'm fine. Just thinking.
In silence, they approach the golden varnished door leading from the garden into the palace proper. The herald opens the portal, which swings wide on the same well-oiled hinges as had the door in Cresslin's room. Still wondering about Drerik, Cresslin steps into the relative gloom of the stone-walled corridor. Darkness swirls around him, as though night had descended from nowhere. His hand darts for his blade. Before his fingers reach the hilt, they are jarred loose as he finds himself slammed against the granite wall with more than one pair of arms trying to pin him. His thoughts reach for the winds, and the bitter gusts of winter suddenly swirl silks and scarves, lashing them toward faces and eyes. A line of cold stabs at his arm, even as he falls away from the blade. The darkness lifts, and he stands alone, except for the herald, his eyes downcast.
What was that?
What, Your Grace? Someone called and you stopped to talk with her. I didn't see who. Since you stopped, I thought you knew her.
The boy looks at Cresslin's disarray.
Are you all right?
You didn't see who it was?
No, Your Grace. I mean, not clearly. She was in the shadows.
Cresslin looks back at the door. Although not as bright as the garden, the corridor is well lit by the windows several paces away. There are no shadows.
Oh. Well, I wish I knew who she was.
She must think a lot of you to be so open.
Cresslin smiles falsely, and his stomach turns again. Drerik's doing? But why would anyone start an attack and then leave as soon as they pinked his arm? Cresslin does not look at his arm, although his senses tell him that it bears a needle-sized hole, and the slit in his silks is so narrow that it cannot be seen. Compared to the mess in the garden, the incident in the corridor is mild, best forgotten, and quickly. Still, he wonders.